The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt.
This is a public service announcement from the New York City Police Department. Each year, many Americans are hurt or killed because they criticize the police. Nationwide, young black men are 21 times more likely to be killed than young white men during police stops. Yet, despite this grave danger, people still risk publicly pointing out that young black men are 21 times more likely to be killed than young white men during police stops. This is just the kind of thing that gets young black men killed during police stops. If you are tempted to criticize police for stop-and-frisk policies, shooting unarmed civilians, and arrest quotas that many people say exist despite overwhelming evidence that they exist, please remember, most police officers are good at their jobs, but the New York City Police Union representative Pat Lynch is basically a child, and not a charming child. Pat is the kind of child who sets dogs on fire then blames the retarded kid. So, when you're on the road, or at a protest rally, or just sitting around at home where you don't think anyone can hear you, please resist the urge to criticize police. Remember, one critical remark can change your life, and that's all it's going to change.
Coming this fall from all three networks, it's the second season of Coppophilia, yet another searing drama about Americans' crazy, incomprehensible, but unending love affair with cops. Woody Harrelson stars as patrolman Lenny Lizardbrain Lynch, yet another itchy-fingered, overweight, psychopathic teddy bear of a guy the whole world loves. Lenny spends his day fighting crime when there isn't any, solving it in a hair-trigger hail of 9mm slugs, thus appointing himself judge, jury, and executioner, a one-man justice system, and always emerging as everybody's hero.
I am somewhat different from a lot of other people, in that I am definitely not a herd animal. While I've always had a rich and varied personal life, the truth is that I nonetheless spent most of my time alone even before any pandemics came along. I am usually fine with that. This has always been somewhat ironic in that I am convinced that humanity needs to gain understanding of the fact that we are all in this together. And that cooperation is much more profitable and far less damaging than confrontation when it comes to interactive human affairs. But on the other hand, my personal experience has always been that any time I've had to depend upon anyone else for anything that I need, then I was invariably let down. Always. It is almost axiomatic. And I have no idea why. Because it's not that way for a lot of other people. But the fact that I live the opposite of what I preach on this particular subject is simply the reality of my personal situation. So I guess in the long run, I am fine with that as well. Anyway, a lot of right-wingers are now promoting a strategy for dealing with COVID-19 called herd immunity. Since the virus seems mostly to kill the elderly and the immune compromised, then these people are advocating just letting everyone pass the virus freely whilst, quote, protecting the vulnerable, unquote. And they say that soon after that, everyone except those protected ones would be immune, and the virus would eventually dissipate. Well, first of all, this strategy would kill literally hundreds of thousands and possibly millions of Americans. And that is insane. And in addition, since I myself fall into that elderly category, then I wonder if they realize that what they are advocating is that I spend many years, if not the rest of my life, living in terror of close contact with any other humans, because so many of them will be carrying a highly contagious virus that could potentially kill me. They are advocating that I wait for many years, if not forever, before being able to play with children, or to go to a meeting, or to protest, or a party, or that I will never again be able to spend time with family or friends during holidays. I do not favor such a policy.
Capophilia, the series that brings you the heartwarming inside story of the brave men and occasional deluded female who spend the vast majority of their lives sitting in a car with flashing lights on top, working hard at developing really humongous buttocks, and occasionally murdering someone. Capophilia brings you everyday hero Lenny Lynch, yet another flawed but lovable version of your own collective lizard brain, and yet another slanted, repetitious, propagandistic telenarcotic series ripped from the headlines. Coming soon from yet another Craven network. Cops, you gotta love them, or else, on Capophilia.
So I really try to practice Glenn Anderson's policy of demonizing people's actions rather than the people themselves. But sometimes, that's hard to do. So frigging Bob Woodward knew that Donald Trump knew that COVID-19 was a major thing that was going to kill a lot of people as early as February. The rump literally called it a plague. Yet Bob Woodward held off publishing this information until he could write his book and make a lot of money. And therefore, Bob Woodward's failure to inform the public that Donald Trump was lying through his teeth about COVID-19 arguably made Mr. Woodward directly responsible for at least some of those hundreds of thousands of deaths that COVID has caused. Mr. Woodward's explanation for holding off on publishing was that he needed to verify his information and place it into context. Well, that argument is just as full of shite as Bob Woodward is. Mr. Woodward had audio recordings of Donald Trump saying one thing to Mr. Woodward, even as he was saying the complete opposite thing to everyone else. No further verification was required, and in a context wherein hundreds of thousands of lives were at risk, that context was largely irrelevant anyway. Along with Carl Bernstein, Bob Woodward has always been celebrated as the journalist who exposed the Watergate scandal and helped bring Richard Nixon down. I guess you could make an argument that back during Watergate, Bob Woodward did not consciously realize that he was being used as a tool by dark hidden forces in order to conduct a coup d'etat against Nixon. But if so, Bob Woodward was incredibly naive. And while you can say a lot of things about Bob Woodward, I really don't think that calling him naive would be one of those things. So I try to understand that a shill like Bob Woodward is human, and that he is merely adapting to his environment, and therefore it is the fault of the environment rather than of the man. But this mindset and this way of thinking, wherein Bob Woodward considered his personal profit to be more important than the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, well, that makes it very difficult for me not to think of Bob Woodward as one of the slimiest of corrupt pieces of human waste I know of. In fact, here's my message to Bob Woodward. Screw you, dude. Really. I maintain, in fact, that this kind of mindset and this kind of thinking is exactly the kinds of mindsets and exactly the kinds of thinking that we need to demonize, condemn, censure, and rebuke on the strongest of possible terms if we want to survive as a species. Because this kind of mindset and this kind of thinking is what is killing us. And meanwhile, as a corporate tool like Bob Woodward is celebrated, and as Mr. Woodward's bank account bulges at the seams, Julian Assange continues to be tortured by the British as he waits in solitary confinement for the railroad that will take him to spend the rest of his life in a cement hole buried deep in some American supermax prison. Yes, even as a corporate tool like Bob Woodward is celebrated, and as Mr. Woodward's bank account is bulging at the seams, the Rumps people continue the prosecution of an actual journalist who puts out actual information without any dark hidden agendas other than exposing corruption and criminality. They are prosecuting Mr. Assange for espionage, even though He's not even an American citizen. He has never published in the United States. Yet he is being prosecuted for espionage because he published accurate and verified information that exposed endless examples of fraud, corruption, and criminality. That is the very definition of journalism. Publications such as the New York Times and the Guardian won a bunch of Pulitzer Prizes following up on information that was originally exposed by WikiLeaks. Yet now these same publications support the prosecution and the persecution of Julian Assange. I suspect because they are embarrassed by the fact that Mr. Assange is doing actual journalism, while publications such as the New York Times and the Guardian are merely parroting government and corporate propaganda. This thing with Julian Assange is important not only because it represents an attack on the most basic and bedrock principles of journalism and the free press, but it has worldwide implications as well. The Americans are not only prosecuting a foreign journalist for publishing information about the United States overseas, they're claiming that as a foreigner, Julian Assange does not have any First Amendment rights. With this precedent, they're saying that they can prosecute anyone, anywhere in the world that publishes any information that the Americans do not like. At this rate, pretty soon, the only crime is going to be exposing crimes. And if we lose our freedom to speak, then pretty soon, we will be losing everything else as well. That's it for the news and commentary this week. It's time to get to work. All right. That's it for the news and commentary section this week. I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music. And this week, I have some music you probably never heard before from a band you almost certainly have heard of before. This is Led Zeppelin.
Bye. happen every night. It really makes a lot of dry. I don't think that's right, no. Yeah. I love you, baby. I love mama, love. Yes, I love. Oh, little girl. Baby, since I've been loving you.
All right. That was Since I've Been Loving You by Led Zeppelin, recorded live at the BBC Studios in 1971. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.